We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
Just outside the busy city of Melbourne, Australia, a group of people functioned in almost complete secrecy for decades, beginning in the 1960s under the direction of a woman who thought herself to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Anne Hamilton Byrne's plan to develop a master race for a conflict that hadn't yet begun included kidnapping, drug-related rituals, and torture. The family cult eventually gathered a following of up to 500 individuals before it all came crashing down due to the actions of one rebellious teenager. Hello, ghoul friends and spook daddies. Welcome to this week's episode of Horror House. It's Dom.
And Amy.
And as always, please take this as your reminder that you are an amazing human being. You are unbelievably cool. You are outrageously awesome. And if we could have any listener for our podcast, you, dear listener, yes, you, would be the one we would pick because you are the bee's knees. Amy, how are you doing today, my lovely?
I'm suitably drunk for this time of the day.
Suitably drunk.
Does that answer your question? No, I'm doing good. It's been a long week. I started my new job, so I'm very tired because, you know, in the first week of a new job, your brain is just a bit spongy.
Yes.
And you have to kind of absorb a lot. Now I'm saturated. Is that a good way to describe my brain? Yeah,
that's
I'm saturated.
An interesting choice of words.
I'm sticking with it. You know, if it invokes an image, that's not my problem. But yeah, other than that, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I am good. Very much looking forward to this episode because it's a very special episode. Mm-hmm. It is not only our first collaboration episode of 2024, it is the first time that these lovely ladies would have been on Horror House. And I'm very excited to talk about it. They've even willingly got up at 6 a.m./7 a.m. because they're all the way in the land down under, which doesn't exist. It's all made up. They're AI. Don't worry. But they've got up super, super early to join us. And we are very, very appreciative of it. So without further ado, I want to welcome to Horror House for the first time the hosts of the wonderful podcast They Don't Stay Dead, Alexa and Britt. Welcome to Horror House, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us, Dom and Amy.
You are very, very welcome. So for the people that haven't listened to your show, and if you haven't, then
why not?
You've got to question your life choices. Because
what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's not impressed. Not impressed.
Very
But for the people that haven't heard of you or haven't seen your show or listened to your show, could you give us a little elevator pitch of what They Don't Stay Dead is about and where people can find you and all of that good stuff?
Sure thing. Would you like me to do it, Alexa, or would you like to do it?
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. So we are the hosts of They Don't Stay Dead, which is a paranormal podcast, and we base most of our stories in Australia because that is where we are from. So we research real-life Australian-based hauntings, and we don't tell each other what the story is before we tell it, and then we get a little bit of the history, and then we get a little bit of the paranormal side. And we always like to discuss if we think that the paranormal side is actually ghosts or if it's something else that can be explained away. So we're not fully invested in the paranormal world because we like to keep a more of an open mind to make sure that, you know, is it real or is it not? But I think Alexa and I do believe that paranormal exists, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't have a paranormal podcast. But yeah, it's a bit of fun. We talk a bit of smack on the podcast. I've never said that word before. I don't know why I just said it.
Hey, there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, we...
You did it well. Keep it going.
That is true.
Sounded natural.
So, yeah, just rolled off. This is in my AI brain just kind of twitching, going, ooh, ooh, ooh.
It happens.
Amazing. So I'm intrigued, because I don't think I've asked you this yet. Was it something you experienced that made you consider starting the podcast? Was it an experience that you know someone had? How did They Don't Stay Dead come about? I'm asking the hard-hitting questions.
Alexa and I talked about starting a podcast together, I think in 2019, and we had some different ideas. They were going to be more like maybe chit-chat based or just kind of not really have a topic in mind, but Alexa and I both have undiagnosed ADHD. Yes, I'm throwing you under the bus here. And we need to have structure in our lives. So we decided we needed to have something, a topic to focus on. And we both are really into horror and like the paranormal. I myself have had paranormal experiences when I was younger, not so much anymore. I feel like it scared me a lot. So I kind of shut myself off to that side of the world. But I'm still open to it, but I just don't want it in my house, you know? So I'll be open to it outside of my house, but I don't want spirits inside.
Sensible approach.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we both just have an interest in it. So
yeah. If they're not contributing to bills and rent, then I'm not interested.
Yeah, get out of my house.
Help me out.
Yeah, sorry, I myself Alexa. Growing up thought that I didn't have any paranormal experiences. I was like, yeah, it's relatively normal. I was more just the person that had insane dreams all the time. Mm-hmm. My dreams are way too vivid. And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, what's that? I can see things and just... But as we continue like going through this podcast, like memories keep coming back to me. I'm like, oh, actually, I remember this thing happening. And Britt's like, that's a ghost. And I'm like, oh, was it?
Okay.
Oh, I guess I do have stories.
I have quite vivid dreams as well. And now I'm thinking, how many of those were ghosts? Although more recently, my dreams have just been Dom telling me that I'm underprepared for the next episode. And I don't think Dom's a ghost. So
that is a goddamn lie. Don't believe her, listeners. I would never do that.
Criticism all the time.
I mean, not all the time.
No, not when you're just haunting. I'm on to you.
We'll be able to tell you at the end of this episode if he is a ghost or not.
Please do, yeah. Yeah, please do. Please do. I need to know once and for all.
I have all my devices below the camera pointing at Dom.
Thank you.
Okay. I've getting EMF reads and everything down here. It's all kicking off. Cool. So, have you ladies heard of the family cult before?
I have not, so I'm very intrigued.
Ooh.
I don't believe so.
Ooh.
I haven't either,
answer.
But it sounds wholesome. Like the family. Oh, that's nice. That sounds good. Like if it was a restaurant, I'd want to go eat there. It sounds good. But I'm going to guess that it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That does make sense.
It's obviously very wholesome when the leader's like, yeah, I'm the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, by the way, guys.
Sure. Why not?
That would be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It can only go well. It can only go well. Cool. Are you ready to dive into to Anne and her family? Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, that sounds so nice. And I know it's not going to be.
It's not. Cool.
I am ready.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So, under the direction of yoga instructor Anne Hamilton Byrne, the family, also known as the and I'm going to apologize for the entirety of Australia because I'm not going to pronounce this anywhere near right. Also known as the St. Iniketan Park Association, and the Great White Brotherhood. I don't know about that last one. It's an Australian New Age organization that was founded in the middle of the 1960s. Born as Evelyn Edwards in 1921, Anne's mother would die in an asylum after being diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. Hamilton Byrne's father struggled to keep a job and wasn't able to care for her by himself, so she spent a lot of her youth moving between orphanages. Hamilton Byrne would start doing yoga heavily after having one child and losing her husband in a vehicle accident. The practice of it, yoga, was still mostly unknown, but Hamilton Byrne was intrigued by its ties to Eastern religion and eventually started instructing middle-class housewives in Melbourne who were interested. What came next was anything but a traditional beginning of a yoga teaching career, because when you say that you're Jesus Christ reincarnated, you are not having a career in yoga. That is not your career path.
It is. I have a question for the group. How do you do yoga heavily? Is it like heavily? You just really aggressively pose?
Maybe.
Yoga.
Breathing really badly?
Yeah. I'm not. Do you just scream?
Overstretching?
I don't know. If you've not pulled a hamstring, you're not heavy enough. Go harder.
No, that's true.
I did do a yoga lesson once in India, and I'm not a yoga person. And the guide, the yoga instructor, I guess, he was like, bend your head to your toes, like just bend straight in half. And I was like, I can't do that. I'm just like a 90 degree angle. But everybody's like, bending down is like, now go further. And everybody's like, what? Go further. And he's like, put your head between your legs. And he's like, just going straight through his legs.
That's
so
impressive.
That's what I imagine.
Where else is there to go? I'm at my limit. I'm already on the floor.
Go through.
No, yeah. I don't like the sound of this already. We're so early on about this cult and I'm already like, nope, not doing yoga. Thank you very much.
We're crapping on yoga and we're crapping on the cult 12 minutes into this recording.
Yes. I think it's okay to crap on cults. I mean, not, you know, physically, but like, I think it's okay to.
I mean, there could be exceptions, cults. You know.
There could be. There could be.
Okay. All right. I should keep an open mind. I'm sorry.
You should.
I bailed out too early on heavy yoga. But I'm back in. Let's keep going.
Though the issue is that, you know, you could do it to a certain cult and that cult could have like some ritual involving human poo or something. Mm-hmm. And it would just backfire.
I mean, some people like it, but that's no. Don't want to think.
We are a non-kink shaming podcast, Amy.
Yeah.
You know that.
I mean, mostly, but come on, really? That one?
Oh, no.
Since someone's got childhood trauma, you know what I'm saying?
That's the one exception to our non-kink shaming. If you're shitting on people, then...
It's not so much shame, just talk to consensual. Someone.
Yeah, no, fair.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be surprised shat on. That's never fun.
No.
Not speaking from experience.
It's only acceptable from birds, you know?
Even also, then, I don't know if I call it acceptable.
Like, I'm just picturing like this middle-aged man who's super flexible and like doing all these yoga and like I'm 32 and I struggle to get myself out of bed without like pulling a muscle. I'm just like, oh mm-hmm. my god.
I think that's like comes with turning 30. You just all of a sudden you can't like brush your teeth without pulling your neck.
I wouldn't know. I'm only 19. I look forward to it.
Yeah. 19. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, shut up. Keep going with the story.
Early in the 1960s, Eastern mysticism and religion started to pique Western curiosities. And Hamilton Byrne had established a reputation among Melbourne residents who were entranced by the new trends. At Santi Iniketan, his residence at Fernie Creek, in the Dandenong
Ranges
on the eastern. Oh God, I got that right. I was so worried. On the eastern outskirts of Melbourne, Rainer Johnson. That's what a name. was hosting regular meetings of a religious and philosophical discussion group led by Anne in around 1964. In 1968, the organization would buy a nearby piece of land and rename it the Santiniketan Park, and they also built built a lodge as a gathering place. However, everything for Anne Hamilton Byrne would change when she would meet Dr. Rayna Johnson, a soon to be retired physicist. Johnson was immediately taken by Anne. She was, according to Johnson's entry in his diary, quote, unquestionably the wisest, the serenest, and most gracious and generous soul I have ever met. Aww. And they say romance is dead.
That's nice.
That is, isn't it? Very sweet.
What's the catch? Does he want to shit on it?
He's working his way up to that.
Yeah, that's fair. Reeler in.
That's on date two, you know?
Oh, yeah. No one does that on the first date. That's reserved for piss.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I really I hope Dom warned you about me. I'm really sorry.
I did.
He did, don't worry.
Okay, good.
I did. I gave them a heads up. I did.
Nobody's getting sued today.
I was like, if this episode turns strangely sexual, just go with it. Do not panic.
Bye. It's me. Strangely sexual.
I'm the problem. So the group was made up of middle-class professionals. It's believed that a quarter of them were nurses and other healthcare workers, and that Johnson recruited many of them by directing them to Hamilton Byrne's yoga lessons. Marion Villemek, who was a member, made significant contributions in addition to bringing in new members through Johnson. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, Marion owned and operated New Haven Hospital in Kew, a private psychiatric institution where many of the employees and attending psychiatrists were also members of the group. The hallucinogenic chemical.
I think it's quite a flawless way to get people into your cult, because you're covering it with the practice of yoga and being like, oh, it's this wholesome activity where a group of people get together and we focus on our health and fitness.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I should be making notes.
Oh, no, I agree.
Not that I'm trying to start a cult.
I'm intrigued what your cult practices would and beliefs would be, to be honest, Amy.
I feel like it's poo and pee at this point.
Oh, no. Oh, no, that's the impression that you're going to go away with of me.
That's what you painted yourself as.
No, it's not. My cult is nothing to do with... No, there is no cult. Sorry, that's the official line. There is no cult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a cult, Amy, is it? It's a family.
It's a family.
It's not a cult.
We're all a family here.
Mm.
Yeah, and families share toilets. Sorry, I've made it really pissy and shitty, and that's not what I wanted at all. I'm so sorry.
It's the theme and we'll run with it.
Yeah, I agree.
All of this is staying in the episode. None of the poo or pee stuff is getting cut.
Yeah, all the stuff that makes me look bad stays in the episode, strangely.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So the hallucinogenic chemical, LSD, was used to treat a large number of patients at New Haven. Under the supervision of the group's doctors, John McKay and Howard Whitaker, the facility was utilized to find possible new members among the patients and to administer LSD to members. In the late 1960s, one of the association's founding members had two lucidotomies?
Okay?
Lobotomies. Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, autocorrect changed that into the most confusing word I've ever seen in my life. But lobotomies, electroconvulsive therapies, and were given LSD to just top it off. A triple whammy.
A great combination.
At this stage, joining a cult is the least of your worries. Your brain's been split in half and you're high as a kite. You know, who cares if you join a cult?
Yeah. So, obviously, Hamilton Byrne had members completely under her beck and call. She received everything from them, including their money, their residences, and even their children. Yes, you heard that correctly. She also received their children.
In the post?
In the post. An Amazon package just turns up.
I'm not signing for that.
I hope there's some breathing holes in that package.
Yeah, it's like a box that you get like a pet mouse in or something. Just like little holes in it.
The corners chewed off. They've escaped. Nightmare.
I mean, to be fair, like in America, you used to be able to mail children. That used to be a thing. Wild stuff.
We'll have to unpack one later.
Yeah. I watched like a weird history YouTube video and they talked about it. It's very interesting.
Do we need to have the talk about your internet usage again?
I hope you're the worst using thing, like proxy walls or something so people can't trace you.
It's not the worst. Not the worst thing that's on there. And hey, Amy, you've told me about your search history, so, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not mail ordering kids. There's a line.
So, the group started to... Why did I use the word procure kids? That sounds awful. By the early 1970s. Some were the family members' children, while others had been falsely adopted. Getting through any red tape involved with a proper legal adoption was considerably easy because the cult had doctors, nurses, and also lawyers. So they were like, oh, we've got our own legal team. We'll get these kids. Don't worry.
Goodness.
Pretty.
Yeah. That sort of came out of nowhere as well. I do apologize. That went dialed up.
Procuring them for what? Why are we recruiting kids? Did I miss that part?
Yeah, are we still just in the yoga phase?
I think we're out of the yoga phase at this point.
Are the kids also not just being dosed getting with kids LSD for yoga? Or
we will go into that. I'm assuming it's the same reason why cults in general probably are able to get kids to turn to their way of thinking. I suppose, you know, they're quite easily influenced, aren't they? So,
especially on LSD.
Especially on LSD. Yeah, 100%. So the children in the cult were homeschooled and kept in seclusion at Kailama, a rural residence often known as Up Top, at Taylor Bay on Lake Eden, close to the town of the same name in Victoria. Sorry, Alexa and Britt, if I've butchered that name.
Said it perfectly.
No, it is. I was just thinking, like geography, like how did they get from Dandenong to Eden?
Is it?
Eden.
I don't know my Australian geography,
Oh, it'd probably be a couple hours.
Yeah, like 2 to 3 hour drive.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's impressive.
I mean, they are shipping via Amazon.
About to say, yeah, they are mail ordering
with all
them.
The kids, so I guess it's pretty quick.
They were like, we need to get that prime delivery, guys. We can't waste too much time. The group's children in the cult did not experience a typical and particularly happy childhood. Shocker.
You don't say.
No shit.
The group's designated, quote, aunties, who were adult women, would take care of the kids while grooming them to look as identical as possible. Think blonde hair, all wearing the same clothes.
We've heard this before, and we know it doesn't end well.
It's a bit creepy. I'm not gonna lie.
Children of the corn territory. That's not fun.
So, food would be withheld, and in worst case scenarios, Hamilton Byrne would lay into the children with her stiletto heel. As long as you followed orders, according to Dave Whittaker, who was raised in the cult, Everything was just dandy. Whitaker would say, quote, she's not someone that you argued with. If she's hitting people with stiletto shoes, it doesn't sound like someone that you would argue with, to be honest.
Mm-mm.
I could make a joke, but I'm not going to because this just doesn't sound like
you held that in very well.
Thank
I'm proud
you.
Of you.
I've decided that now I'm known okay. for pee and poo. I should probably keep my mouth shut a bit.
I thought you were going to say just stick to jokes in that realm instead.
Yeah, I'm now exclusively pee and poo excrement. This really isn't going the way I thought it would. But, you know, I'll stick to it. It's fine.
So, oh, God. If my mum's watching and I mispronounce any of these medications, she's a nurse, I do apologise. Flufenazine, diazepam, haloperidol, and chlorpromazine, among many more psychiatric medications, were often administered to the children in the cult. The kids were subject to an odd drug-fueled initiation ritual once they would reach adolescence. This would comprise of being given a dose of LSD and left alone in a dark room for a period of time, only receiving visits from Anne herself or one of the cult's psychiatrists.
That's horrifying.
That's horrendous. Absolutely yeah. horrendous.
Why?
Brainwashing.
I don't know. I don't know how
I don't understand.
Cults think, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish I had answers. Like many cults, the children and other cult members had limited interaction with the outside world. It was all part of the family's motto, quote, unseen, unknown, unheard. However, those words for which the cult abided by would come to a very swift end in 1987, as said earlier, at the hands of a rebellious teenager. But before we get to that, I think now's a good time to take a break and breathe and think about the machinations of cults. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Good.
I need to do some stuff. Hardcore yoga.
Cool. So we shall see you back here in just a few moments.
Dark Adaptation Podcast is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Brianna, and our producer Dyson joins me while working the knobs. Our show explores all things macabre and mysterious. We're talking dark history, true crime, haunted places, you name it. While we typically dive into lesser known stories, we do cover well known ones too. And for those more, let's say, popular cases, we deliver so much information you're guaranteed to learn something new. And sometimes we're even joined by our guest host, Steph, who brings a cosmic twist to the show. Our other guest host, Paige, joins us every other month to bring us into the world of cryptids and folklore. Tune in every Monday for a new episode full of intrigue and entertainment. Dark Adaptation Podcast is available wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. And next Monday, we'll catch you on the dark side.
Hey, creepy people.
This is PNW, Haunts and Homicides. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Cassie.
Together, we explore stories of the paranormal and true crime throughout the Pacific Northwest. For each episode, we do a tarot reading to help us gain some insight on the topic as we share the facts of the case and our interpretations. You can find our episodes featuring true stories from infamous cases such as the misdeeds of Boeing, as well as lesser-known true crime cases like the murders in Tunnel 13.
As well as our spooky stories from Pike Place and Raven's Manor on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you'd like to listen. Have a creepy-ass day.
Welcome back, everybody, to part two of this week's culty episode. I don't think I'll be joining. I mean, I can't join, but if I was, you know, there at the time, I don't think I'd be joining the family cult. It doesn't seem for me. I don't know what you ladies think, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not
sure if you might.
I need to get more out of a cult.
I probably would.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I'm not sure what these people are gaining at this point. Like, other than being, I assume, better at yoga and a little bit of free drugs. Mm. I don't really know what they're gaining. It's certainly not, you know, enlightenment or anything. So I'm with you, Alex. I need more out of this to join.
Mm.
I think that's coming when she starts pretending she's Jesus Christ.
Also, too many children
starved and isolated. Too many children around.
Oh, yeah.
Too many children around.
Well, not really. They're all high and locked in rooms. So, not terrible.
All right. Okay. Fair point. I'm tempted a bit more now.
You can go live your yoga-free life in all of the other rooms while they're locked up, you know, questioning reality. It's every parent's dream.
The parents are like, you know what, this cult doesn't sound too bad. It sounds all right. Where do I sign up? Where's a brochure?
It's like summer camp.
We're not condoning child abuse before anyone in the comments says that.
We're not.
Just nip that one in the bud.
We're not.
We're just having a laugh. Join us.
Yeah. We're having a giggle.
It's how we make it through this.
Yeah, I was about to say, this would be pretty awful to listen to if we didn't somehow put a little bit of humor into it. But yeah, I don't know what... I'm assuming like Anne was like, it's the end of the world and, you know, if you join the cult, then you'll be saved. Or so that's the normal cult, you know, way of things, isn't it? So maybe it was that. I don't know.
Yoga will set you free.
Only heavy yoga, though. Light yoga.
Yeah. None of this light stuff.
Has to be heavy.
Go hard or go home. That's the yoga way.
Go hard or go home. It's at this point that things are about to start to unravel for the new... not so improved Jesus Christ and her group of members. In 1987, 14-year-old Sarah Moore, whose last name was changed to Hamilton Byrne, was kicked out of the organization for acting disrespectfully towards her adoptive mother. However, did Sarah take this lying down? No, she did not. Because what she did do is she would significantly to alerting the Victoria Police to the family with the aid of a private investigator and others. As a result, on Friday, August the 14th, 1987, there was a raid at Kailama, and every single one of the children were taken out of the compound. Later on, Sarah would complete her medical studies and would earn her doctorate. Additionally, she would discover that she was obviously adopted and would eventually get to meet her biological mother.
That's nice.
So that's a nice big fat fuck you to Anne. And in a rare occurrence on this show, because Amy knows we don't get happy endings very often, but we actually got a nice ending with regards to Sarah on that one.
Sorry, I'm just holding a happy ending joke.
Yeah, me too.
We're good.
Following the raid in 1987, and her husband would leave the country and spend the following 6 years abroad. They were detained by the FBI in the New York village of Hurleyville in the Catskill Mountains in June 1993 as a result of Operation Forest, which is an inquiry that involved police from Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Like, super team.
Why did the UK forces. Get involved?
I don't know.
Just nosy.
The UK were just like, I want to be included.
America makes sense, but the UK is like, well, we'll come over too.
Let me take part, guys. Stop hogging. Go on. Anne and her husband were charged with perjury and conspiracy to commit fraud by falsely registering the births of three unrelated children as their own triplets after being deported to Australia, but the charges were eventually withdrawn. The Hamilton Byrnes were each fined 5,000 Australian dollary dues. Sorry, people of Australia. after entering a guilty plea to the last allegation of creating a false declaration, all of our Australian listeners have now just left this episode entirely.
I'm tempted.
To be fair, I haven't tried a very poor Australian accent yet. I'm controlling myself here.
I can do one for you if you want.
You are Australian. We've had this conversation before. You don't need to.
Yeah, but
on
I can do
accent.
Really poor Australian accents.
Go on then. Go on.
Yes,
Brit.
I need to hear this now. Yeah,
that's it. That's all you get from me.
But the question, I mean, the question now is, can you do a British accent?
Oh.
Oh.
Not without preparation beforehand.
That's fine.
I can say British. British, don't you not pronounce T's?
Yeah, we don't normally pronounce T's, to be fair.
To be fair, I'm from a part of the UK where we really don't pronounce T's. UK listeners, I'm from Essex. We don't do T's. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You've got me there.
And I'm from Hastings, and we can't speak the English language in Hastings. So,
you're posh.
You're doing very well.
You're posh in Hastings.
People always say that. Whenever I'm like, people are always like, oh, you sound really posh. And I'm just like, I'm from Hastings. I'm not posh. My chubby accent comes out every so often, I've noticed sometimes. It'll rear its head.
Also, this is just a cover up.
This is just a cover up. Yeah.
Chab is a ghost.
Does come out to play. So, surprisingly, Anne would spend zero time behind bars, absolutely none, but was nevertheless required to compensate multiple people for psychological torture with monetary damages. Following her legal action against Anne, two people got money in August 2009. Rebecca Cook Hamilton, her granddaughter, of all people, filed a lawsuit against her in 2007, alleging various mental and psychological conditions. She claimed Anne and her servants, her co-members, subordinates, whatever you want to call it, had subjected her to, quote, cruel and inhumane treatment, including beatings, overnight confinement in a freezing shed, and forced medication. In addition, she claimed that she also didn't get enough food. She would get an estimated $250,000 as a result of her lawsuit. And I didn't say dollary dues that time. So
only two people got a payout out of all of the members that were involved in the cult.
Only two. As far as I could find.
Yeah. Only two. Not very satisfying, is it? That ending, like... What happened to the rest of the people that were subjected to this?
No, I can't get over no prison time. If
yeah,
you're...
and that
yeah,
as
that's
well.
Wild.
That's...
Yeah,
that is.
If people
wild.
Are suing you for psychological torture, which is a pretty hefty phrase, surely you would think there's got to be some sort of jail time. But instead, she's paying out what? How much was it? $250K? Nothing.
$250,000. Australian dollars. I don't know what that equates to in British pounds, obviously.
Mailing children not count as kidnapping? Was there no kidnapping charges being able to be thrown around in there?
I reckon there was, yeah.
Trafficking?
They might have had more charges against them, but they just didn't stick, potentially. Because I suppose the cult had their own lawyers, didn't they? So maybe, I don't know, maybe there was something to do with that. It eased up.
I tell you
I
what,
know.
If I'd have known psychological torture was so cheap, I'd have been doing it ages ago.
Well, with inflation, it's probably a lot more expensive now.
When was this? This was the 90s, early 90s, I think. So inflation's probably boosted that 250 up a little bit, I reckon.
Yeah. All right, you took me out of it.
So it wasn't just that lawsuit. Cynthia Chan, a former family member, claimed that she paid Hamilton Byrne $352,115 $1,000 for property in Olinda, Victoria, but that was never given to her. She further claimed that although she paid Hamilton Byrne the sum of $70,400 for another property, that also never been given to her. Maybe after the first time, don't do that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's fine. She'll give me this one. Ooh.
Also, what house is $30,000 in Olinda?
70,000. Yeah. Which still is
still
considerably
cheap.
Low. I don't know.
Cheaper than psychological torture.
Olinda, it is, to be fair. Well, is Olinda like a nice place? I don't know. I've never heard of it. What, tell us.
It's part of the Dandenong Ranges. It's very like foresty. It's up on like a mountain. Like, it's really beautiful.
70,000 seems like a bit of a bargain then. I'm not going to lie.
Very yes. much so.
Almost too good to be true, you might say.
Yeah. I was about to say, it sounds like a bargain. That would be true if you actually got the property you paid for. It's not so much if you don't.
Yeah.
Of course, Anne claimed that she couldn't recall the incident. She was like, that's never happened.
So she's become a con artist too?
Yeah.
That's not very Jesus-y of her.
It's not, is it? You know, she was probably clutching her cross as well when she was like, I can't recall that ever happening. No, not at all. So the estimated value of Chan's payout was another $250,000, which still doesn't seem like a massive amount when you paid her like $420,000 and you got $250,000 back.
Doesn't seem fair, no.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Especially when the police believed that Anne's net worth in the 1980s could have been as high as $50 million. So,
wow. In the 1980s?
Yeah.
Have you done high money conversion rates?
I haven't, no. So I'm not sure what that is.
A lot of comparison.
Money. It's a lot of money. I know that much.
It explains how she looked the way that she looked then, I guess.
Yeah. It's also kind of infuriating that she was worth $50 million, but yet both of these people only got $250,000.
Mm. Where was she getting that money from? I assume the cult members just gave her their whole earnings or life savings.
Probably.
Did you say earlier she was taking their property?
Yeah, so I think property, savings, like she was taking everything from him. So she probably flipped some houses, I imagine. And we're just like, yeah, money, thank you. That's nice.
I'm in the wrong business.
So yeah, she had money.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah.
And by the way, have I mentioned,
like,
Jesus.
This podcasting game isn't right, Amy. This podcasting game isn't right, Amy.
No.
So you need to start a cult. And
yeah,
just
cult it is.
Give people.
I'll go
people
get my LSD.
Hand us over all of their worldly possessions. So, Anne Hamilton Byrne, or Auntie Annie, as she was known by the cult. that's horrendous. That made me feel a little bit ill. I'm not gonna lie.
I spent the first half of the episode talking about
piss
and
years.
Shit, and now I feel dirty. Like, that's made me feel gross.
I need to take a shower because I don't feel clean.
I feel good.
So yeah, Auntie Annie, as she was known by her loyal followers, was spent her final years in a nursing home, and in a very unfortunately ironic twist, suffered from dementia, which means that she was entirely unaware that she was responsible for the pain and suffering of so many people.
No, that's just not fair.
It's not. It's
she got
really
away
not.
With it, basically, and now she doesn't even remember that she did it.
That's just such a slap in the face. It really, really is.
Yeah.
The merciless control exercised by Anne Hamilton Byrne, however, will never be forgotten by the children who managed to flee from the family cult. Anne Hamilton Byrne would finally kick the bucket on the 13th of June 2019, living well into her 90s. I think she lived until like 98 or something crazy, which also isn't very fair.
No.
At all.
Gets to live a long and healthy life. Was she not dosing on the LSD as well? Like, did she not have any repercussions from the drug taking?
Maybe. Maybe she was like, I'm Jesus Christ. I ain't taking no LSD. God.
Surely you don't think you're Jesus unless you're taking LSD, right? Like, we've all had one of those moments.
No, probably. Probably.
I mean, no, we haven't.
I suppose all cult leaders... I suppose all cult leaders are probably just to the gills with so many substances. I
just
suppose
so
it's why they believe
yoga.
That the world is ending, or just so yep, high on yoga.
Yoga's the real problem here, guys.
Yeah.
Mm.
The moral of the story, yoga is bad.
Do drugs, not yoga.
There's another t-shirt idea.
Another t-shirt. But...
New merch. Happy days. So despite the fact that Hamilton Byrne was, strangely enough, never accused of abusing children, Lex De Man, that is an actual name, fantastic, who oversaw investigations into the cult, would call her, quote, the most evil person I ever came across. Quote, those who survived, some justice has been served. Today is not a sad day, but a day to celebrate. May she rot. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely.
Mic drop. Yes, Lex De Man, with your amazing name and mic drop quote. I love it. That is the family cult. What do you think, ladies?
I'm still a bit confused as to what their purpose was.
I don't even know if they had one at this point. I think they just wanted to take a load of drugs and procure children.
Yep. Make
millions
doing it.
Yeah,
and make a lot of money. And like I said, I that is the first time I've ever heard of an Australian cult. Obviously, you see a lot of ones in America, and I haven't actually seen that many UK cults, to be fair. It's mainly American.
Give me a minute. I haven't started it yet.
It's in the works.
It's in the pipeline.
It's on the to-do list. I had to pop it on the back burner.
It's on
I had
the
some knitting.
List. I had some knitting. Is that, so instead of yoga, is that what your hook is going to be? Hardcore knitting?
Yeah.
Oh, you
knit yourself
definitely
happy.
Get a lot of people in that cult.
Right?
Knit yourself
mostly
happy.
Mostly grandmothers, but I'm fine with it.
I feel like a lot of millennials as well, we've all kind of taken up knitting as a pastime.
Yeah, this is true.
No,
I can offer free avocado toast. I mean...
Oh, we're in. I'm in. I'm already in.
Brits, sweet. Like, I'm down.
Let's talk turkey.
Yeah, a fascinating story. There are so many things that stick out, like Amy said, her not getting any jail time is insane. Like, not one day.
Just
she
like,
must
no
have paid someone, right?
Served. Yeah, surely.
Yeah, I reckon
yeah.
so.
Yeah. I mean, other than me. The people that she paid.
Absolutely not.
That she compensated, she must have paid somebody else to get her off.
Yeah, yeah.
I still feel like that's so much money left over too. Like, she probably also would have had a really nice nursing home.
Oh, yeah. I reckon so. I reckon so.
I can't believe
probably
it was that
had
much
her own
money.
Room.
That's so much money.
Yeah, 50
like,
million.
How big was this cult?
It's a lot
that
of
she's
money.
Managed to accumulate that.
So I'm going to go hop on Safari and I'm going to convert that because now I really need to know what $50 million in the 1980s is.
Yeah.
Also, were they all Christian because of the reincarnation thing? Was that how they were also getting people?
That's a good point.
Potentially.
They can't all have just been... I mean, yoga and Christianity don't traditionally go hand in hand, do they? So you wouldn't think that you... I mean, I don't know. They don't connect.
I think what shocks me is that at the start you said that they were mainly recruiting people in like hospital system. Oh, hang on. It was they had some nurses and some doctors, right? But then they were also recruiting patients from the psych ward, yes. But like, how do you get the nurses and the doctors involved to start with? Because like inherently you'd think that they would be quite smart people. So they've obviously somehow been manipulated to be involved, and then getting people who are in psych wards might be a little bit easier because they're already on some sort of medication and they're already not quite right. So you just like give them an idea and then they might spin with it.
Yeah.
So 70, I know this, so I couldn't find anything about 50 for some reason, but 70 million in the 1980s is worth 270 billion, what? 870 million,
that is
795,000. And 30.
So much money. That is so much money.
I feel so, like you might want to check your sources.
She's dead now, right? Where's that money gone?
Yeah. Who did it get passed on to?
Not the victim, that's
for
sure.
That's an insane amount of money. Oh my God. So yeah, she was a well-off woman, but unfortunately she made that very much on the backs of some very unpleasant things.
It'd be interesting to have interviews with the children who were in that cult today to see how their lives were changed, or if, you know, the use of drugs at such a young age affected them throughout their adult life, or if they were able to come back to some sort of normalcy after that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. How easy would it, I mean, just integrating themselves back into society, because their motto in the cult was unseen, unheard, like, so
that's
just going
also
back into
such a
normal
strange
society.
Motto.
Yeah. So creepy. It sounds like the tagline of a horror movie.
Yeah.
That I would watch.
Absolutely.
Like, what 100%. Do they gain out of that being unseen and unheard? And what was the third one?
Unseen, unknown, unheard.
Unknown, unheard. Yeah.
Gosh.
Like, what do you gain out of
that? It sounds like the old prison motto from, like, was it the 1800s, where it was like, silence, solitary, and something else. And that was like their prison motto to make their prisoners better again.
Jesus.
I don't think that's how
that works.
None
of it sounds great.
No. Cults are notoriously not the best thing in the world, I will admit.
Except Amy's cult. I think Amy's cult might be different, you know?
Knit in an Avo toast, you know? Could be worse.
Could be worse. Knit in an Avo toast.
$1 million.
It just starts at $5,000 for knitting supplies everywhere.
Yeah. It's really, really good wool. And avocados are pretty expensive, so, you know. The sign-up fee is going to be pretty steep.
Not where
but
I'm
once
from.
You're in, okay.
It's one of the perks of living in Queensland where avocados are grown. They're quite cheap.
Damn it. Maybe you should start the cult.
I mean, no, you're.
I'll take care of the knitting.
I'll start the cult. I'll supply the avocados. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. I'll give you 50% off your membership fee.
Thank you. That sounds like a great deal.
It's a great sweet deal. And don't forget, I'm still Jesus.
Sounds like a...
Okay.
It sounds like a good cult. Avo toast, some knitting. You might get shat on. Who knows?
That comes later.
Yeah, sounds
That's
pretty
way
good.
Up the level. You're going to have to go through various stages of the cult before we get to that point. And it'll be a really healthy shit because I've eaten so many avocados. I've taken it too far. I'm going to stop.
Goodness me. On that note, Amy, do you want to see us out for this week?
Oh, God, now I have to do that, really? Sure. I would absolutely love to. Thank you so much, Brit and Alexa, for joining us and for sitting through everything that I've said that I wasn't supposed to say. We hope you've had a good time. Have you had a good time? Have you enjoyed your first experience of Horror House?
There's
I did.
One right answer to that.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. I had an awful time.
Okay. That makes this wrap up more difficult.
No, thank you so much for having us on. We'd love to do this again. I really enjoyed myself, and I would definitely get up this early in the morning for you again.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. We've loved having you, and it's been great, and we will definitely do it again.
Yes.
In the meantime, everyone, please go check out They Don't Stay Dead. Where can people find you? Tell us.
Oh, we're available pretty much wherever you get podcasts. So we're on all of the streaming services. So if you just search They Don't Stay Dead, you should find us.
There you go. It's as easy as that. As easy as it is to join when in an avocado toast cult. That's how easy you are to find. please do go check us out. If you want to support us, you can do so by following us on social media. You can have a look at our merch store. You can use the Buy Me a Coffee link. All of the above. If you enjoyed this episode, please do leave a comment. Ask us a question in the Q&A. All of the above. All the things we usually say. Do all of that for us, and then also do it for Britt and Alexa over at Don't Stay Dead. Until next time, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, stay spooky.
Stay spooky, you beautiful bastards. Here's for some heavy yoga. That's never going to happen.
That's what I'm going to go do now.
Yeah, actually, I have to be somewhere.
I was lying. I don't have work. I'm actually going to go do heavy yoga.
Yeah. We all know what that means now. We know you're part of a cult, and this is now your intervention.
Yeah, it's LSD. I'm going to go do LSD.
Sweet. I'll see you there.
Britt, we've told you. You have a problem.
I don't see it that way.